This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. In just under 3 weeks, San Franciscans will go to the polls. They've got several housing ballot measures to consider and a mayor to elect. The incumbent, Ed Lee, defeated 15 competitors 4 years ago. And since then, the city's economy has seen a radical turnaround. Unemployment has dropped from over 8% to less than 4%. The city's budget has grown bigger than ever to nearly $9 billion a year. While many are prospering, though, others are suffering. Rental housing now costs more in San Francisco on average than anywhere else in the country. A recent study by the Brookings Institution found income inequality between the rich and poor is greater in San Francisco than in any U.S. city, except Atlanta. The city is losing its African-American population. It's losing families. It's increasingly becoming a city of haves and have-nots. KLW's Ben Trefney sat down to talk with Mayor Ed Lee about his candidacy for re-election and his plan for San Francisco.
Do you think that the economic rebound was almost too good then? I mean, when you look upon this, does it seem like the market's been driving the city, or is the city still in control?
Well, I think the city has everything to do with a little bit of the market, not everything we can control, but I do think that there's strong investor confidence in the city. That's something that everybody asks for, because that results in immediately very good jobs. I mean, this the whole reason why we have 3.6 unemployment. You have economic drivers, and construction, of course, is very hot. But everybody thinks it's tech workers. That's actually number three.
Small percentage.
The number one economic driver in the city is healthcare. Five brand new seismically safe hospitals being constructed all at the same time. A very strong Mission Bay with biotech and life sciences helping to move in a lot of people. And then our tourism is done very well. It's always done well, but it's number two in economic drives. And of course, Dreamforce, that just exceeded all their numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's been welcomed by the city because of our convention status.
But the side effect, the side effect, of course, is that a lot of people are being priced out of the city at the same time. So, you know, is this something that the city should take responsibility for, do you think? And
well,
can it?
We have to do it in concert with the private sector, because also a lot of this is being driven by the private sector as well.
And do you mean like mandating certain affordable housing levels, or what else do you mean?
Absolutely. But part of it is, first of all, let's understand the pressures that we have with good success, economic success in the city. We have pressures on affordability. I agree with people, everybody, that you know, paying $5,500 a month for one bedroom is impossible to do. It's
for a lot
not
of people
there.
Paying $1,500 for an apartment is impossible to do. But it's hard to find anything that's less
that's
than
right.
the twos or threes.
And why? Because we simply don't have enough supply. And this is why I constantly say it's been a crisis decades in the making, because we did not care about building middle-class housing and affordable housing at all. We were somewhat crazily satisfied with the incredible slow pace that this building had. I mean, why would you want to then be satisfied with building a few hundred a year, where all predictions were that if we worked successfully together and getting good jobs, people would want to stay here and be close to their jobs? So why aren't we building what I have articulated, 30,000 housing units by 2020? That's my goal. That means 5,000 a year. That means 5 to 7 times more than what we've ever built in the history of this city. Yes, I'm aggressive in doing that, and I can't do it alone. I literally have to have market rate housing developers contribute, and they are, and we're figuring out even better ways to do that. I also have to have preservation of affordable housing. We can't afford to lose affordable housing units, rent-controlled units, at the same number we're trying to establish, creating them and building them. So we put in hefty money in our budget, in our robust budget, trying to protect housing at the same time.
Would you be able to mandate for developers to build only affordable housing or to build at higher levels? Jane Kim, for example, has asked to have a 33% affordable housing level, but you didn't agree with that.
I didn't agree with that because that's straitjacketing. So every development is different. And I agreed with her that a goal of 30% a goal of 33%, is accomplishable if you allow developers to work with us in a flexible way. And by that flexibility, I mean some sites are amenable to more density and more height, and we have to have some agreement in those zoned areas for the rest of the infrastructure to accommodate that density. Whereas some sites are too small and you wouldn't get much out of it and the cost would be prohibitive. So how do you do that? Have an overall goal, but allow that flexibility to contribute. And there'd be sites like the Giants, for example, 40%. They figured it out because we are giving them density bonuses and more land mass in their lot A. And we worked with them on
this
the front
down
end.
Down south of AT&T Park.
Exactly. So I said that let's not straitjacket anyone, because all that means is that the investors don't have the flexibility in order to work with us to accomplish the same goal.
That's Mayor Ed Lee. He is running for re-election in November. I'd like to go back to the November election in 2014 for a moment, when you were a big backer of raising the minimum wage in San Francisco to help workers. And you were at a celebration. You were at a celebration when that passed. And one of our reporters was there too and recorded you saying this.
These are hard jobs. You're serving other people. And there's a lot of attitudes out there when you're in restaurants and hotels. And you got to suffer through it. I know that. I used to get sworn at. Even if I was back in the kitchen, I get sworn at. But you take it because you're just knowing that you got to survive. And all of us know, if we came from other places, we had to do a lot of things to survive in the city to be successful. Immigrant families know that. Low-income families know that. So particularly tonight, I want to share with you that I'm personally proud of the entire city of San Francisco.
What does that make you think about?
It makes me proud that the city of San Francisco joined business leaders of different sizes and community leaders and elected leaders to say we can up our minimum wage. We can help low wage earners who, and you know, I always get emotional about this because I grew up in a family of low wage earners, and I know the plight that they have. Today, everybody, I think, deserves a fair wage. That's why I am helping to lead the Fair Wage Act of 2016. And I'm glad to do it with the backing of union leaders, non-union leaders, small and big business leaders, as well as Mayor Libby Schaft and I. I think we learned through that process. Almost two-thirds of minimum wage earners are women. They're trying to have their families survive. People generally work two jobs, if not more, to survive. You can't survive on $19,000 a year. That's the current state minimum wage. That's why our cities were aggressive, and we're not asking the state to be as aggressive as San Francisco or Oakland, but we are saying and suggesting that maybe by 2020, you can get to $15 an hour, and that will be respectable for people. And I see a lot of these folks, these are healthcare technicians, there are people working in restaurants, people that are janitors. They're all over the state. They're small and large businesses, and I think they deserve a fair wage when the state is beginning to show some very strong signs of prosperity, but also there's an affordability gap that's creeping up. Look at the cost of eggs that's just gone through the roof. Look at the price of bread and milk. People can't afford that, and they're struggling. You can't survive on $19,000 a year.